The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. Throughout history, when nations, empires, or individuals turn from God or drifted farther from God, His word, which He has commanded us to live by, troubles, problems of every kind only increased. If we could understand there is cause and effect, just maybe we would want to change the way that we think and conduct our life. We aren't educated to the point that we believe the statement that God inspired to be written for our learning and our well-being in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. Notice what God had to say here in Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That means whatever an individual sows, that he will also reap, or she will also reap. Paul is saying, don't think you won't pay for your deeds. God has spoken, and it can't be any other way. That law cannot be broken. God says that is a law, and that is a law that applies to every individual. God says we bring good and evil on self. It all depends on how we conduct our life. Continuing here in verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If you are only concerned for self, then you will do many things to bring trouble on you. But if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you won't be mistreating your neighbor or anyone else and having your sinful ways coming back upon you. It was lawless deeds that brought the flood on the world. It is lawless deeds that has this world today in so many problems. It is lawless deeds that is causing you to suffer as well. It is from breaking God's law that has caused the need for so many jails and prisons. We are talking about sinning against God, breaking God's laws. Now, verse 9 continues here in Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God says if you sow good seeds, you will reap a good harvest. Your life will be much better. It may take a while, it may take a little time for you to begin reaping what you sow, whether it's good or whether it's evil, but it will come. That is a law. You reap what you sow, and it can't be any other way. And you know, my friends, no one can take your place. If you're reaping from sowing bad seed, no one can step in and take your place and reap for you. And if you're reaping from sowing good seed, good deeds, no one can take that away from you either. Continuing here in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. God is telling us if you do good, then your life is going to be a lot better. So God is encouraging you to do good deeds to all, meaning treat others as you want them to treat you. Now, this doesn't mean that you will have a trouble-free life if you never sinned against God and never hurt others, not even yourself, your spouse, or anyone else. Now, of course, no human being is without sin. But if you don't practice a sinful way of life, you will still have some problems because you live in Satan's world, and he wants to hold you captive to him and his way. Therefore, he will tempt you, and God will test you. Satan will use others to cause trouble for you. God will test you to see what you will do. But the point is, you won't have the many severe, unsolvable problems as we see today if you are living by the Word of God. You won't cut yourself off from God as we are today. This world, our nation, and perhaps you have cut ourselves off from our Maker because of our many sins. And God tells us that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, beginning in verse 1. Notice what God has to say here. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. God is telling us here that he is quite capable of hearing and saving and delivering an individual or a nation or the whole world, for that matter, out of their troubles. He goes on in verse 2, and he tells us why that he doesn't. verse 2 of Isaiah 59, but your iniquities, your sins, your lawless deeds is what God is speaking of, have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. You know, God says that he cannot look upon sin. And if you are a sinner and you're trying to get God to hear you, then God is not going to hear you if you're practicing that kind of a life. Verse 3, God tells us, begins to tell us what some of our sins are that cut us off from our Maker. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. My friend, do you hear of any murder in our nation or any other terrible evil deeds? Your lips have spoken lies. Well, we don't hear of anyone lying, do we? Your tongue has muttered perversity. In other words, falsehood, deceitful words. God continues, and he begins to tell us some of our sins, although God tells us that we know what our iniquities are. In Isaiah 59 and verse 12, God has this to say, for our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, our sins, our lawless deeds, we know them. Yes, God says we know many of our sins and our transgressions and our lawless deeds. And God says that our transgressions are with us, meaning that they are separating us from our God. Do you claim to be a Christian? If so, are you living a sinful life? Are you breaking God's laws? Do you keep the Sabbath, or do you trample on it by ignoring that fourth commandment? God makes it very plain in his word that breaking the fourth commandment is one of our sins that separates us from our Maker. God said in Isaiah 59 that he doesn't hear our prayers because of our sins. The New Testament even tells us that as well, tells us that God doesn't hear sinners. Notice this in John, the book of John, chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. This is very plain, isn't it? Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, that is living God's way, and does his will, he hears him. So the Bible says if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, that is, if you keep his commandments and do those things pleasing to God, then he has promised to hear our prayers and deliver us in his way and in his time, not ours. In 1 John 3, verse 20, notice what God had to say here, inspired John to write. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Can you honestly tell God you are obeying him, or do you feel guilty about your conduct? Verse 21 continues, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Now, if your heart does not condemn you, if you can tell God that you are obeying him to the best of your understanding and your ability, then God has bound himself to hear and answer your prayers. That is, if you are praying according to God's will. In 1 John 3, verse 22, John continues here, And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Notice that, my friend, if you want God to hear you and answer you, then God says, if you keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight, then he will hear us. Now, a sinner will not ask according to God's will. A sinner will not be keeping God's commandments. A sinner will not be doing the things pleasing in the sight of God. And as we just quoted from the book of John, that God doesn't hear sinners. God says our sins have separated us from our God. And as I mentioned, one of our sins is Sabbath breaking. But we have plenty of other sins as well. We try to dress up many of our sins, give them better sounding names. We don't like calling a spade a spade. Why is that? Well, it's because we want to try and cover up, even hide our sins. We try to make self feel better about our stubborn, rebellious lifestyle, rebelling against our Maker. But we aren't fooling our God. He knows the facts. He knows the truth. He looks at the heart. We call perverted sex sexual preference. Now that sounds better to us than calling it what God calls it. but we don't even know what God calls it, because we as a nation and most individuals have no intention of looking into the Word of God for guidance. Do you? Do you look into the Word of God for guidance? In Leviticus chapter 18, beginning in verse 22, notice what God has to say. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, God calls this perverted sex an abomination. That would apply as well to two women lying together. God looks at it the same way, says it is an abomination. God calls this an abomination. What a terrible sin that is. God has more to say about this gross act in Leviticus 20, verse 13. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God doesn't think highly of this abominable, perverted, twisted mindset burning in your lust for such abominable act. He said, put both of them to death. Yes, that was a death penalty back in ancient Israel, and it would have applied for two women lying together as well. Yes, it was a death sentence in ancient Israel. It still is today in God's eyes, if not repented of. It is the eternal death sentence in the lake of fire, if not repented of. Way too many in this world and in America think this is okay. That is one of the main reasons God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities, as well as casting those nations out and giving Israel their land. God warned our forefathers, ancient Israel, not to do as the Egyptians were doing or the nations in the land of Canaan, the land that God gave to our forefathers. Notice in Leviticus 18, beginning in verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Eternal, your God. God wants you to know He is your God, your Creator, and there is none other. He wants you to understand that His laws, statutes, judgments, and His entire word is for your good, and He commands you to live by it for your own good. I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. Keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program. And in the meantime, we have a couple of booklets that you need to read, my friends. They're free of charge. All you need to do is call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or you may email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or go online. You can order online at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Those booklets are North America Listen and the United States and Britain in Prophecy. You need to read those books, my friends. So give us a call, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, and ask for those booklets, North America Listen and the United States and Britain in Prophecy. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today. Have a good day, my friends.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.